We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Buffs Insider. It's the first Buffs Insider of 2020. Neil Welk is a year older. He's from CUBuffs.com. I guess I'm a year older, too. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. We do this one after the Buffaloes on Thursday night knocked off number 4 Oregon to open up Pac-12 conference play. 74-65. Buffs now 12-2 overall. They are 1-0 in Pac-12 conference play. Last year, they knocked off number 4 Arizona State at home. This time, number 4 Oregon at home. Neil, you look back to that ballgame last night, the events, and first off, it was an electric atmosphere. You could feel it before the ballgame. There was just a tension in the air. It was a high-level college basketball game. That's going to go down as one of the great defensive efforts I've ever seen from a Colorado basketball team.
That was outstanding, especially against a very, very good Oregon offensive team, and that's the thing. Oregon came into this game, Mark, leading the Pac-12 in field goal percentage, leading the Pac-12 in three-point percentage. They left this building shooting 3-for-18 from three-point range. It was just a terrific job by CU's defense.
Yeah, Buffaloes were outstanding. In fact, when it was all said and done, the Oregon Ducks in the first half only shot 35%, 0 of 7 from downtown. They end up 45%, so certainly respectable. 3 of 18, as Neil mentions, 17% from downtown. McKinley Wright, Peyton Richards last night. That was one of the great, point guard matchups I've ever seen. It ended up pretty much a draw, but both of them I thought were outstanding.
Oh, just, you know, big play after big play after big play. You know, McKinley Wright still, though, in the end, Mark, the turning point to me was after two technical free throws, Oregon sneaking back in the game. They're down 4. They just got a technical foul on Tyler Bay. McKinley Wright went down and ignited the crowd, hit a three-pointer from the top of the key, and that was it. And that just turned the game back to Colorado's favor just that quick. And so it was a lot of fun watching those two guys play all night long.
He is what we call a gamer, right? I mean, one of those guys just seems to like to step up in big moments, big games against big-time competition.
He is, and you just look. I mean, he had some beautiful assists to spark an 8-0 run early in the half when they went up by 15. Then he comes down, he hits the three, he has an assist on the next possession, and then on the next possession he hits a floater from the lane, and all of a sudden that four-point lead is 11, and it's basically over.
Think about this. It was just about 4 ball games ago. We're talking about a Colorado team that is struggling with turnovers, They're not moving the ball well. Their assist numbers are down. Did you know in the first 10 games of the season, the Buffaloes only had two games where they had more assists than turnovers. Now they've done it four consecutive ball games. They only had eight turnovers against Oregon. Yeah.
Well, and it's you know, I go back and Tad Boyle and I were laughing the other day. It was just, it wasn't even, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, people were saying, what's wrong with McKinley Wright? What's wrong with McKinley? And Tad kept saying, McKinley's fine. He's going to be all right. He's fine. He had a little rough stretch, but they've learned how to do all those little things, and they're going to get better. It's going to be some tough stretches in the Pac-12, but I really like the way this team has come together. They're trusting each other. They're making simple plays. They're not trying to hit the home run, and I tell you what, McKinley's driving that car right now.
It is going to seem strange, if you look at the box score of this one, for me to bring up Alex Strading in this ball game. He played 4 minutes and 41 seconds. He had 2 points. He had one rebound. That was offensive. Did not have an assist, did not have a turnover, did not have a steal. He was one of two shooting, missed basically a wide-open layup. I thought those were pretty impressive 4.5 minutes that he played.
He came in and played. Number one, he played great defense in the post. They were having some foul trouble. Evan Batty was in foul trouble down below. They needed to get Tyler Bay a little rest. Alex Strading comes in, plays good defense. It's a beautiful left-handed little bank shot that the guy from Oregon's still trying to figure out how he made that shot. And it was just a snapshot of what Tad Boyle does. He is finding the right place for these guys to come in and help out. Shane Gatling, look at Shane Gatling's numbers.
Yep.
What do you have, 1 point?
Yep.
But he had, what, three assists, four rebounds, and he played great defense on Anthony Mathis. Last time we saw Anthony Mathis, he hit 7 3-pointers for New Mexico last year. I think he had one the other night.
Yeah, that's right. He had 23 points down to the pit last year. The Buffs won that one down there against New Mexico. Strading is so interesting to me because he's the kind of guy, and he's a perfect teammate. He's smart. He never makes a mental error out there. He might not play for five consecutive games, and all of a sudden Tad puts him in, and he's just money out there. So he's just a great team guy. Tad has said that many times. He goes, you can't have a full team of Alex Stradings, but you got one. You can count on him at any time. I thought Tyler Bay, who's been a little bit up and down, we're starting to see a guy that's evolved on the block, though. And during that stretch of those bad games that Colorado was having where they really struggled offensively, he was really having a problem with the double team. He's evolved since maybe that 4 or 5 games ago.
Look at his assist numbers. I mean, he's starting to pass the ball. He had a really nice assist to Evan Batty tonight underneath. Evan got fouled, made a couple free throws. He's learning how to pass the ball out of the double team. And his rebounding against Oregon was just phenomenal. I mean, I asked him, I said, was there a rebound out there that you didn't think was yours? And he said, there were a couple I didn't think I could get, but the rest of them I thought were mine.
Good stuff, and a good team win for the Colorado Buffaloes as they get this one. They've really got an opportunity here. They play 5 of the first 7 at home. You look at the way this schedule sets up. So after the Oregon State game coming up on Sunday, the Buffaloes then have got Utah coming the following week. They open up their first couple of road trips. They got out of the Arizona school. Certainly that's going to be a challenge. You got Washington State coming to town. Then they're at the UCO, the LA schools. Then you got Cal Stanford coming in here. They've really got an opportunity on the front half of this thing to put together a great stretch and potentially, they got to keep winning, obviously, but build themselves a little bit of cushion for then a road-heavy second half.
Yeah, it is. And that's a tough road stretch going down the end, but those aren't, you know, unwinnable games. It's at Cal, it's at Stanford, at Oregon State, at Utah. So those aren't you know, the premier teams in the league. So they have a chance, Mark, to, you know, to get to some double-digit wins here, you know, in a fairly quick hurry, and build a cushion down the stretch.
This thing should, I think, the Dayton win certainly, I think, sent a kind of a shockwave a little bit across college basketball. Now you look at this one here. Maybe, and I saw a little deal last night as I was sitting doing some stuff post-game. Andy Katz was talking about the Buffaloes, and he made the point. I'm just kind of echo it here. This kind of sends, I think, a little flag up for the country that the Colorado Buffaloes are for real.
It does. Mark, this is a team that if they play like they played against Oregon last night, if they play that way, Mark, this is a team that can go into the second weekend of an NCAA tournament, that can get a 4-5-6 seed somewhere around in there, 3-4-5-6, get in there, win a couple games, and you know, get into a Sweet 16.
Good stuff for the Colorado men's basketball team. Again on Sunday after this victory, 74-65 over number 4 Oregon. By the way, the Oregon Ducks, 0-9 in Boulder, Colorado, 0-7 now in Pac-12 conference play. But now OSU comes to town on Sunday, 3:30, the pregame, 4 o'clock, the tip-off on the Colorado Basketball Network in Denver. It'll be on 850 KOA and 94.1 FM. On to the women's basketball team real quick. They're 12-0, playing fantastic basketball. I think they've probably been the surprise on the women's side. We know what kind of conference that is. Now they go into the deep end of the pool. Tonight, Neil, they're at number 2 Oregon. I don't know that you can find a road trip like this on the men's and women's side anywhere. Number 2 Oregon tonight, and then Sunday at number 3 Oregon State. Now, that's a near impossibility going in there in those two ball games. But this should be a little bit of a litmus test for a young team to kind of figure out what it means to play at that level.
You know, I think what J.R. Payne is looking at this weekend is you go into that kind of a weekend, you're playing with house money.
Yeah.
You played really well. You're 12-0. You've won some games maybe you didn't think you were going to win. You've won on the road. You've played well in some tight situations. So you go up there and play loose. You don't worry about trying to win both those games. You go in there, have fun, and, you know, you might be able to knock one of them off.
Yeah. That'll be certainly a great challenge. Again, the Buffaloes tonight against number 2 Oregon in Eugene for the women. That's an 8 o'clock tip-off. You can catch it on the Colorado Basketball Network in Denver on the 6:30 KHOW. Real quick football note. Yesterday, and we kind of figured this was going to happen, but Jason Harris signs his national letter of intent at the Under Armour All-American game. He made the announcement in the second quarter. National recruit, one of the best outside linebackers, defensive ends in the country. Another big get from Mel Tucker.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the frame, 6'7", 230 pounds. Obviously got room for some more. He's going to be a great guy coming off the edge. I mean, he can be an outside rush linebacker, an outside rush end. And Mel Tucker's defense, they're both about the same. So he's another guy. You pair him with Alfano that's coming in. And all those defensive linemen coming back, Mel loves to play 8 or 9 D linemen a game. That's a pretty good bunch right there.
I think, and we talked on signing day here back on December 18th, we talked about this a little bit, about recruits that maybe resonate across the country. Antonio Alfano certainly is one of those. I think there are some other guys in that class, but this is just another one of those guys because it was a national guy. There were schools all over the country recruiting him. He had many options out there. And it begins to kind of resonate that Mel Tucker has got a little mojo going here.
Yeah, I think you're seeing that from the national media, too. I mean, I think there were some eyebrows raised from the guys that cover college football across the nation. I was watching Twitter this afternoon, and they were all kind of like, whoa, Colorado just got another one. And Mel Tucker is starting to make a name for himself around the nation as, you know, a guy that's going to turn Colorado around.
Hey, speaking of the Pac-12, the Pac-12 finished up 4-3 in bowl games. Awful good to see Oregon get the win in the Rose Bowl. That was big. Utah, boy, it stubbed its toe down the stretch of the season. Pac-12 title game, getting throttled by Texas. What's your takeaway from the bowl season with the Pac-12?
Well, it was better than it was a couple of years ago when they were 1-7 or 1-8. So, you know, you always got to look at the bright side. I thought the Pac-12 represented fairly well. I liked Oregon's win. That was a quality win over a good Big Ten team. So that looked good. I was hoping for a little bit more out of Utah, but I think they didn't have a good game against Oregon. I think they were not motivated for that game, which is an excuse I hate, by the way. I always hate it when teams say they weren't motivated. But, I think Pac-12 football, we said a year ago that Pac-12 basketball was going to be much better this year. I think next year Pac-12 football is going to be much better than it was last year.
Was it just me, or did Utah remind you a little bit of a 2016 Colorado Buffaloes basketball, or football team rather, when they looked very strong and then hit the title game and the bowl game and kind of fell apart.
No, and I think, you know, that's an analogy I think a lot of folks are probably making. You know, big hopes going into the Pac-12 championship game, kind of get blown out, and then all of a sudden you go down to the Alamo Bowl. You're not as motivated as you should be, and you get blown out there. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Utah bounces back from that.
So the Buffaloes in basketball got a big win on Thursday night. The men knock off number 4 Oregon, 74-65. Don't forget. Women tonight at number 2 Oregon, 8 o'clock in the network, Sunday. Buffs and Beavers from Boulders. Colorado looks to improve to 2-0 in Pac-12 conference play. 3:30 the pregame on the Colorado Basketball Network. 4:30 the tip-off again in Denver and 850 KOA, 94.1 FM. Check out Neil's coverage always at CUBuffs.com. I'm Voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us this week on the Buffs Insider.